back at Arrowhead. My man Brad Young is here, and I'm looking at a mangled face of Brad Young. Welcome back to Arrowhead.
It's not that mangled.
Josh and Adam, here's a mangled producer sitting straight across from me, man. What in the world happened to you? You're on a ski trip.
I finally took a vacation, and I had a little skiing accident. Put a ski pole through my face, but I'm good.
Yeah, you can tell. Today, you know, we were going to have the video day, Brad's video debut. We figured out a way when he's talking to get him on camera, so it's back and forth.
We're going to have to delay that.
And he's refusing. He's going diva on us, refusing to go on camera with this mangled face, and you probably don't want to see that. Literally just got back from Mobile, Alabama, in this seat, a minute, 2 minutes, hear the Chop It Up song, and I was going about 90 on 435. Adam Pellegrino was with me in Alabama. He just walked in. He took a little bit longer because he was the girl that checked his luggage for a 3-day trip. But hey,
seriously, man, you were there for 2 days.
He's checking luggage. Hey, but this almost didn't happen, Brad. Is American Airlines one of our sponsors? You're the sponsor guy. You know this. Not for the show. Just
we are Delta Airlines.
Okay, good. Then I can say it.
Yes.
Standard. We're late. American Airlines. We're late getting back. And, you know, should have been here able to prepare for a good hour for the show. Instead, it's fly by the seat. I emailed you some files, and we do have some interviews from Mobile, Alabama, from the Senior Bowl with some players you guys haven't seen yet on KCChiefs.com. And then we'll look back at some interviews we did, and we'll talk about players that stood out. We'll talk about the week that was. Awesome week at Senior Bowl. And for those of you Chiefs fans joining us on Thursday, thanks for adapting your schedule. The press box wasn't open in Mobile, so we couldn't exactly go live from the stands. And then, you know, it was a jam-packed day. We're getting a ton of interviews, so we just pushed it back 48 hours, a live show, and we're ready to talk Chiefs football. A very exciting 2010 offseason, only got more exciting this week, and we're not even to the combine yet. But anyway, when you go to Mobile, I just want to first talk about this setting.
What do you think about Mobile as a city?
As a city?
Was that your first time?
My first time in Mobile. You know, I might have passed through it when I was real little, like going to Destin, Florida or something, you know, back when I lived in Memphis. But the
yeah, it's hard to say that Mobile's a destination.
Ba-dum-ching. He's here, folks.
We're back.
Hey, we're back. And Brad's got jokes. Destination. Anyway, Mobile, very unique town. I think it was almost historic in looks. We stayed in the historic district of downtown, and it was kind of nestled in some old homes, and randomly these brick streets that would just end abruptly with fences in the middle of the street, and you'd have to U-turn, and I got lost about 15 times on the first day heading to Ladd Peoples Stadium. But overall, yeah, Mobile was fun. We had a lot of oysters, but the most fun part was the football. I mean, the setting in Mobile, it's like a coach's convention meets training camp. Who's who? Anyone and everyone that's involved in football and not involved in football seemingly is there. The fan aspect isn't going on much down there. That's probably for the game, because now the scouts from the CFL, the UFL, obviously all the NFL teams, some defunct arena teams are there. All these guys are there for the first half, these head coaches, these GMs. Then they book off because they're worried about – they want to see the guys practice. They want to get interviews with the guys in between practices. Their scouts gather information. And then once the game comes, the scouts are gone, and that's when all the fan festivals happen, the player autograph nights, and it leads into a sold-out game this Saturday. And so we will talk about some of the guys that I thought stood out. And I'm no scout, but I know where the Chiefs' needs are, and there's some guys I thought stood out, and then maybe put them on your watch list when you watch the game this weekend on Saturday. I do have to say, though, it was a bit of a training camp feel, like a Twilight Zone, Chiefs Twilight Zone, when you have Gunther Cunningham screaming at the North squad every other play, "Show up! Show up!" Anybody that's been to River Falls knows that's the Gunther thing.
Seriously, welcome to the NFL, yeah, you yeah, college kids.
Exactly. That's what exactly
if you're
going to
have any coach in a situation like that, you know, you're walking in, you're kind of intimidated already because you've got all these scouts watching and all that stuff. I mean, a lot of those guys in college are big-time recruits.
Well, especially if you're one of the small guys.
If you got a guy like Gunther Cunningham in your face right away.
Think about if you're a kid. Think if you're a kid from, I don't know, New Hampshire or something. You're a 1AA program, a sub-championship level. You go and you've already got the little chip on your shoulder. Hey, I'm playing with all these guys from SEC schools and Big Ten schools. And then to boot, you've got Gunther Cunningham screaming in your ear telling you to show up every other play. So it was definitely a welcome to the NFL, a Twilight Zone for anyone who's been in River Falls 2008 and prior with the Chiefs. And it was a lot of fun. But You know, the kickoff of the week might have been the funniest thing. You know, it starts off with the creepiest part. Large men in spandex getting on a scale and getting pictures taken of them with basically no clothes on, just spandex. And maybe, 500 middle-aged men taking notes on notepaper. Only in the NFL can this pass as suitable conduct.
I was going to grab the picture of Terrence Cody shirtless in biker shorts, but I figure we got some family.
That's a
some
big
families
dude.
At home.
We talked to him. It's
watching.
A big dude. And he is
He's a monster.
Whatever he looks like, the guy can play some football, pushes some guys back. But so we start off with the creepiest part of it, and only in football. From there, it went practice. It went interviews. But it's not all about the game. You run in. The first guy we saw was Pete Carroll. You saw Mike Singletary, and then obviously you see the Chiefs coaches and general manager. But it's not just about them. I didn't see Rosenhaus. Okay, Brad. You say which agents have you seen? I didn't see any of the big name agents, but I saw a ton of agents, tons and tons and tons of agents. The agents almost outnumbered the scouts at some points, and we put together a montage. Just let me know if you were a player, would you sign with these guys? Go ahead and play our agent montage. That's what those guys – the guy that on the phone, I swear he probably isn't even talking to anyone. He's just there.
He's probably talking to his mom, telling him what he ate last night. That's great.
I don't know. The same guy just kept passing. He's like, man, we got to talk about this in the live show before we get into all the stuff with the football we saw. He's like, I'm going to get some B-roll of this.
Well, as soon as you text me Josh texted me all week about all these different people he was seeing. He was telling me about Rob and Rex Ryan rolling around together as a
rock
tandem.
Rock stars, man.
Just rock stars. But he was saying, hey, we got this agent montage. And I was like, oh, make sure to get Rosenhaus in there. He's like, no, these are not super agents. These are wannabe. I'm an agent of a third team. These are the guys who are the agents for the borderline kickoff team dudes.
Like, those dudes are signed, man. I'm telling you, these guys are just there harassing these players. I swear, harassing. Some of these guys probably aren't even certified by whatever law degree or whatever you need to be an agent. And I feel bad for these guys. First off, they're answering questions. Also, the scouts will go out just like the media after these workouts, and they'll ask guys straight up, hey, have you ever smoked marijuana? What's your GPA? They'll ask very personal, and they want honest answers. And so these guys are at the top of their game. They're answering these questions as honestly as they can after they've gone through practices where everyone's sitting there taking notes. And then they're going to do some media interviews right there on the field. And then they're approached by guys in cheap three-piece suits wanting them to give them money and a piece of their contract.
It's nice to know I'm not the only one who shops for my suits at Kohl's. It's good to see that.
You say I'm in that department too, but I think I pull it off a little bit.
Oh, man, that's great.
Anyway, so it was a good week, but let's get into the football. All right. Down there, Brad, you probably have two of the top 20 players, top 25 players. So the Chiefs' first-round pick likely wasn't in Mobile this weekend, but I think it kind of makes it more fun because history says the Chiefs are going to select a guy from Mobile. Last 5 years, 12 players the Chiefs have drafted played in that game. So that's even the more fun part about it. You get to see these guys that may impact the Chiefs roster at one of the second round picks, third, fourth, fifth round, sixth or seventh. And that's where I have the most fun. I mean, you hear enough of the Mel Kiper and the Todd McShay and all the mock drafts of the first round. And that's good and great. And that's your big player. That's the one that you have to hit. And that's fun. But the most fun to me is figuring out who the Chiefs are going to draft, like a Brandon Flowers in the second round. Those are the guys, the complimentary guys, where if you can find a gem, a Jared Allen in a fourth or fifth round pick, those are the guys that make it fun. And these are likely the guys that we saw that we saw some future NFL stars that will be mid round to late round picks this week in Mobile, and it was absolutely awesome. The tons and tons of guys were impressive. I'm no scout, but I'd say the most impressive offensive player to me was Ole Miss's Dexter McCluster. This guy, the Dolphins had him running in the Wildcat scheme. Look for him to get direct snaps in the game this Saturday. Look for him to be involved in reverses. He's playing running back. He can play receiver. His stock has flown up all week. Before this week, they were saying mid-third, mid-fourth, a lot of the scouting services. Now they're saying he might be up to a late first round, a second round pick. So Dexter McCluster, I mean, the knock on him is small. He's only 165 pounds. So he's not like a Darren Sproles guy who's 5'8" with a ton of load on him. He's a small guy, but he's so fast. He's so quick. He's so explosive. And hey, top of the third, middle of the second, fourth round if he drops. I know we got Jamal Charles at running back, but hey, you got JC back there, and then you got like McCluster on the sides, on the outside, maybe in a slot, doing different things, putting those two guys in the backfield. There you go. That's something the Chiefs could look at. And McCluster, obviously, I think, did well for himself this week. The most impressive defensive player to me, Big 12 Nation will be proud, Sean Weatherspoon of Missouri. The guy flies around, looked like he was much better in coverage than I thought he'd be. What I really liked about him is he took an immediate leadership role out of the gates. As soon as the North practice started and they went to team, Weatherspoon was the first through every drill. Weatherspoon was the guy talking it up to other players, telling guys to hustle over here, to do this. He was even lining guys up in the first day of team, so he's obviously already got the defensive scheme that the Lions are trying to teach him. So those were all reasons I thought Weatherspoon was an impressive defensive guy. Scouting service say maybe he could go as early as the second round. Maybe he'll be a mid-round pick. Filled well in the run all week. Like I said, matched up with the running backs and tight ends in passing better than I thought he would. And I thought that he was nervous. So if you ask for my top two guys that I saw, one on offense, one on defense, there was one from the South. That was McCluster from Ole Miss. And then defense, the guys from the North, Sean Weatherspoon from local Missouri. And hey, we already got our call. Rob from Springfield is here, and he wants to talk draft, specifically Toby Gearhart. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, not much, Josh. How you doing? I'm thinking you're talking Dexter McCluster, but what do you think about Jamal and Toby in the backfield? I think you got the big bruiser, and Jamal's got the speed, too,
Yeah, Rob, that's a great point. Toby wasn't down at the Senior Bowl, Rob, but he's a big back. And McCluster's kind of, him and Roy Upchurch are the small backs this week. What we saw in Mobile were the big backs. We talked with LeGarrette Blount from Oregon. We talked with Anthony Dixon. Anthony Dixon from Mississippi State. Both these guys are over 230 pounds, and they would be the big back to supplement Charles if the Chiefs decide to go that way. So I'm guessing you, as a Chiefs fan, you're looking for a bruiser, a pounder to come in and be that backup to Charles, not necessarily another scat back.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking you need two young backs that can grow together, you know what I mean? And so I think you got Jamal, who's young, then you had Toby. And I know we need offensive line help, but let me throw in one other outside suggestion for linebackers, O'Brien Schofield out of Wisconsin. What do you think of him?
I tell you what, I'm glad you brought him up, Rob. He was the most impressive in the first 10 minutes of practice. He's a defensive end, can translate to a 3-4 outside linebacker. In fact, I told Adam, I go get footage of number 90. 5 minutes later, Schofield tore his ACL in drills this weekend. So who knows what that's going to do to his Who knows what that's going to do to his draft stock? But this guy, when he was working with the defensive line this week, and it was obvious that he was more athletic than the guys in drills, that he was moving around better. So maybe he drops out of the draft completely and is a flyer, as a college free agent that comes in injured. I don't know. We talked with Scott Pioli this week, and he mentioned Schofield exactly. I said, how can guys go up and down in this this week? And he said, well, the worst thing that can happen is a guy like Schofield who gets injured. And now so his ACL is torn. He's not going to get to go to the combine. He'll be injured when the draft comes around. I tell you what, Rob, before that injury, that's a guy that I also thought, hey, the Chiefs could maybe work around with this guy.
And I'll hang up after this, Josh, but who do you think's the best offensive line? Because we need some offensive line. I mean, there's that Carter kid. There's so many kids out there. I don't know which one would be a good one.
Yeah, I don't really know either. I mean, Rob, I'm not a scout. I read the same things you do as far as the offensive linemen go. a big, bad, nasty man is what I want. So there's a number of guys I think that could fit if that's the way the Chiefs go. And thanks for your call, Rob. Excellent points. Rob wants the big running back to supplement Jamal Charles. I think a lot of Chiefs fans are in the camp with Rob on that. Rob sees a guy in O'Brien Schofield that Yeah, could transfer and be a project as a 3-4 outside linebacker. You got to feel for a kid like that who blows his ACL in an all-star week. He played so well in the Shrine game the week before, so he was going double time. He was showing scouts in the Shrine game, which was won by Romeo Crennel's East squad 13-10. He was showing scouts there as a linebacker. Then for the Senior Bowl, he goes back to show scouts what his college position was at defensive end. So this guy was doing all the right things. His draft stock was skyrocketing. He was projected by many before the Shrine game as maybe even a college free agent or 6th, 7th rounder. Then they were talking, hey, this guy might creep up into the mid rounds. And so he was a guy I'd circled going in to talk to down there, to ask him what he thought about playing the two different spots, which one he'd prefer, which one he felt more comfortable with. So Adam, literally 5 minutes after Adam started getting footage of him, the guy tears his ACL, and it's tough. We got Carlos on the line. He's from Kansas City. He wants to talk wide receivers. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going today?
Pretty good.
That's good. I was just wanted to comment. So much talk has been about offensive line and the defense, but we have receivers that except with the side of Chris Chambers that can catch the ball and hold on to the ball. Now, what do you see, I guess, as far as in the future, the Chiefs drafting some wide receivers or, per se, as they say, get them off the streets? That hasn't been working either. Do you think that they need to look at some draft picks, possibly pick up some receivers that we know can catch the ball?
Yeah, Carlos, I think the wide receiver is another spot. I mean, when I think the Chiefs, the primary spots I think that the Chiefs need help is offensive line, nose tackle, linebacker, safety, running back, and wide receivers. Does that pretty much cover everybody? But wide receivers is just another. And it's the factor, you know, it seems like in the draft you can get these impact wide receivers late in the draft as opposed to early, you know. And so I think if you find value later on in the draft, then a guy like we just talked about, McCluster, who's kind of a swing guy, he can play the slot for you, he can play running back for you, or maybe they go round one with a guy like Dez Bryant. I don't know. I think that there's probably more screaming needs to the Chiefs than wide receiver, but it's definitely a need. Chris Chambers, as you said, he's an unrestricted free agent, so the Chiefs need to re-sign him if they feel that he fits. Obviously, you have Dwayne Bowe returning, and past him, it's a coin flip for who's your number two, who's your number three, who's your number four. So you're right, Carlos. A wide receiver is a particular need for the Chiefs. I guess I'd ask you, as a Chiefs fan, is there one guy that you're targeting, or are you looking for a big receiver? Do you want a kind of a possession slot guy or a deep threat? What are you looking for?
Well, I'm looking for a possession guy, a guy that can catch the ball, that knows where the yard marker is, and
exactly,
someone who can advance the ball for us in big damn decision making.
Yeah, I'd agree, and I think that if you can find no matter however they do it, let's say that Chambers resigns and Bo's still there, and you got those two guys, and if you can find an impact slot guy, a possession guy, whether it be through the draft, whether it be through free agency, whether it be through college free agency, and just get, like you said, a guy who's going to be a crisp route runner, who's going to know on third down he can line up in the slot, run a little 6 yard out, and be 1 yard past the marker and move the chains, I think that would help the Chiefs tremendously. And a guy that catches everything. Soft hands. Don't need to be a burner. If you sign Chambers, you've got your burner there. You've also got a big play guy in Dwayne Bowe and a big body. It's that guy who is disciplined and smart and catches everything and runs the proper routes. I'd agree with you 100%, Carlos.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for your call, man.
No problem.
So there's Carlos. He's talking receivers. We've had Rob talking running backs. Which way can't you talk if you're the Chiefs? There's only a few positions that the Chiefs are pretty much set at, and that would be quarterback, starting running back, however, running backs behind him, big question mark. Defensive end, the Chiefs are pretty set there with their starters. But past that, cornerbacks look pretty solid too. You've got Brandon Flowers, you got a young guy, Brandon Carr, you got Donald Washington in the mix there. Your corners are pretty straight. But after that, there's a number of ways the Chiefs can go. And I think as these mock drafts keep going and you keep seeing, right now everyone's saying offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. That's what all your experts are saying about the Chiefs. That's going to change. I guarantee you they're going to come out, well, the Chiefs like this linebacker right here. Now the Chiefs are thinking Dez Bryant, or the Chiefs have fallen in love with such and such position. The safety, Eric Berry or Taylor Mays, who was actually down in Mobile. So right now it's offensive line, and in the, what do we have, 3 months until the draft? I think it's going to be readily changing because we all know that the experts like to update their mock boards every single week. So I talk about the guys that stood out, McCluster, Weatherspoon. That's just if I had to pick two. But what we wanted to do when we went down to Mobile, it wasn't to scout, guys. I'm not a scout. That's for somebody else to do. But what I can do is find out where Chiefs fans would be interested. So I looked for unique players that would interest Chiefs fans and that the Chiefs might be interested in if these players fit the scouting report if they come through. So what we did was we looked at the Chiefs' needs. Like I just talked to Carlos. I said, I think offensive line's a need, nose tackle, linebackers, safeties, and running backs. Those are the ones that I focused on. Receivers are in there too. And we tried to get unique interviews with guys throughout the week. Guys we talked to. We talked to a pair of offensive linemen. Mike, I don't even know how to say his last name. Iupati. Is it Iupati? From Idaho. By far the best guard on the board. Will he play tackle in the NFL? Or if he's a guard, where do you draft him? You probably don't draft a guard in the first round. Does he fall to the Chiefs in the second round? Is he in the third round? A guy, Sam Young, started 50 games for Notre Dame. Familiar with Charlie Weiss. Is there a connection there? We interviewed him. We talked to Terrence Cody, Mount Cody, as you Chiefs fans like to call him, from Alabama. We talked to Weatherspoon. We talked to a guy named Brandon Lang from Troy. We talked to Anthony Dixon, LeGarrette Blount, and Larry Asante. And two of those guys we haven't released the interview footage of, and we will on this show. And so I just wanted to put a unique perspective for Chiefs fans to kind of put these guys on their watch list and then go out Saturday and enjoy the game and say, yeah, I liked what Anthony Dixon had to say in this interview, and I really liked the way he played in this game. That's my new favorite guy for the Chiefs in round three. So something like that. That was my goal, and I hope that as Chiefs fans, you guys got something out of it. We'll take a look at some interviews from both Asante and Lang and talk about those players specifically here in a minute, but we've got Sean from Kansas on the line. I want to get Sean's call in before we get into these interviews. Sean, how you doing, man? You want to talk Eric Berry, it looks like.
I was thinking about that overtime game against Dallas, and, when Austin Miles got like 250-some yards or something like that, and I saw Mike Brown, you know, missing the angles left and right all the time on those tackles. And I was just thinking, what are the odds of us picking up a guy like Eric Berry?
Well, I think that if Eric Berry falls to the Chiefs, this is kind of who knows what the Chiefs scouting department has on him. But the general consensus nationally from experts is he won't fall to the Chiefs. But if he does, the Chiefs would take him. So he's obviously the best safety prospect out there across the board is what many people think. Mike Brown, you mentioned specifically, unrestricted free agent. Who knows what the Chiefs are going to do with Mike Brown? Do they try and re-sign him? Do they let him go? If they let him go, DeJuan Morgan probably hasn't shown enough in his first couple of years here to go into training camp being the hands-down starter at strong safety. So then there goes your Eric Berry. You draft a guy, you bring him in, you bring in a different free agent. Free safety is not exactly set in stone either. You got Jared Page, who has been good for the Chiefs, but kind of had a shaky year this year. You don't really know where he fits in. I believe he's a restricted free agent this year, and what do the Chiefs do with him? Really, the only thing that you can feel 100% comfortable with is a guy like John McGraw, who's going to play all your special teams and be your primary backup at both positions. So the safety is definitely a position that the Chiefs could draft in this draft because it's so shaky. And Eric Berry, there's one. Taylor Mays is another. There was a guy, his name's slipping the top of my head, but he's an in-the-box safety out of LSU. He was there this week, did a lot of work, and looked good. I think that overall the safety pool is pretty talented this year in this draft.
Good, because we need it.
Yeah, hey. You're not a big Mike Brown fan, and I think
he's just, he's spent his time. He was good with the Bears. I just think, he's seasoned now.
Well, yeah, Sean, I think where he struggled a lot this year was in the pass coverage. I think he still can be a good run filler. We saw in Cincinnati he had 13 tackles, a lot of the line. The Chiefs switched their defensive scheme around and made him an in-the-box safety, and he did a lot better in that game. So I guess it also depends on what does Romeo Crennel want out of his safeties, where Mike Brown fits in if he returns to the Chiefs. But, yeah, Eric Berry, I mean, people say one of the best safeties to come out in years. So I think if the Chiefs have him at five, that's a very strong consideration.
That'd be neat.
All right, Sean, thanks for your call,
man.
Appreciate it. Well, he's talking safety, so why don't we talk Larry Asante? He's just another one of these guys that is in a talented crop of defensive backs in this year's draft. He's a guy who could be somewhere. His stock is rising this offseason. He's not going to be a first-round pick for the Chiefs. He's not going to be drafted at five. So don't think I'm saying that, Larry Asante is going to be over Eric Berry. No, this is probably a guy who's going to be there in the mid-rounds, but He covered better than expected, I thought, at the Senior Bowl this week. He paired very well for you Big 12 fans, Big 12 North fans specifically, with Weatherspoon. Those guys were just drilling receivers coming across the middle. They were filling up on the run. And so we talked to Larry the Assassin Asante from the Husker Blackshirt defense, and let's play the interview. This is the first time anybody's seen this one. Hey, Chiefs fans, we're here with former Cornhuskers safety, Larry Asante. Larry, man, is it kind of like some Big 12 North love? You and Sean Weatherspoon seems to be flying around these North practices, laying the hits.
It's always good to have a Big 12 guy here represent, you know what I'm saying? One thing we try to do when we come out here is, as far as being for the Big 12, when we come out here and we talk, you know, we try to pump each other up, you know. I'm constantly slapping him, you know what I'm saying, on the butt, you know what I'm saying, saying good job. He's constantly congratulating me. So, I mean, there's nothing but Big 12 love. We love each other.
Well, what are you, man? Are you a run-stopping safety? Or are you a cover guy? Are you hoping to prove here that you're a little bit of both?
My job here is to prove I'm a little bit of both. Guys in the past have known me as, you know, a guy that came down here for the alley, you know what I'm saying, and made big plays and big hits on running backs, but I'm trying to prove out here that I can do both, and I know I can do both, and I think that all week through our practice I've been able to prove that I can do both.
Well, the Chiefs have guys that played under Bo Pelini, Glenn Dorsey, Tyson Jackson, DeMario Williams from Nebraska. Talk about playing under him and what you learned at Nebraska under Bo Pelini.
Coach Bo's always preaching about the process, how every day you strive to make yourself better, and overall it'll make the team better. So, I mean, he brought toughness, he brought disciplined football, and every day, man, he challenges us on the football field and off the football field, and I think that's why we're able to compete when we step out there on the field Saturdays.
What do you think for you the biggest challenge is taking your game from the college level to the pro level?
My biggest challenge, just to be a more student of the game, sit down and break down film in detail, spend a lot of time in the film room, and I believe if you spend a lot of time in the film room, if you know your opponent, you're not surprised by anything that you see on Sundays.
Now, when we've been doing this, you know, a lot of Chiefs fans, they double as Husker fans. I've been getting a ton of emails to me. You got to talk to Asante. You got to talk. Is there anything Chiefs fans that double as Husker fans? Anything you want to say to them?
I'm sure they're just like Cornhusker fans. They're great fans. I've seen a couple of Chiefs games, and the stadium is always filled. If I end up in Kansas City, I'm happy to come, and I can't wait to see y'all.
All right, man. Well, wishing you luck. Take care.
Appreciate it.
Well, there you go, Husker fans. There's your guy, Larry the Assassin Asante. Brad, you watch every Husker game religiously. You're an alum. What do you think about that guy?
He's a headhunter.
Is he?
He's definitely a headhunter. But you know, it seems like when I watch football, my least favorite player on the team is always a safety. Going back when I'm a Husker fan or anything
player
like that,
Huskers is a safety right now. But it's not Asante. It's the other guy.
But anyway, it's not his. I really like either. Asante. I mean, he's a good cover guy. He's really really good at stopping the run. He's very disciplined for a college safety, but I have a running joke with my buddies that Larry Asante will get at least one personal foul penalty a game because he's headhunting so much. I mean, you'd rather have a guy playing too aggressive than too tentative, especially at that safety spot.
Well, as long as he's not searching out dirty hits. I mean, if he's always headhunting and there's a guy maybe a yard out of bounds, you know, at the right time, personal fouls aren't the worst thing in the world. You know, in fact, at the right time, being a former defensive player, you want to use them. I'm serious. You do. You want to use them.
And
let's say you're up 14 points and you've just been dominating them, and they've got the ball first and 10 on their own 5, and they can't move anything. It's a second or third quarter, and you're in control of the game. But there's still time for the team to come back. If it's the right down, but it's not a third down, smack that quarterback out of bounds a little bit and make sure that take him out for the rest of the game as far as mentally. So I don't think that the headhunters they get a bad rap sometimes, but I kind of like them.
Just like I said, he's a good run stopper, but he also had a few interceptions this year. One of them, it was a pick six for like 37 yards. So he was third on the league.
I wasn't going to bring this in. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We got Eddie here on Cover Live, and he said he's a Husker fan. O'Hanlon and Asante held their own for Nebraska. I said I didn't like the other safety, and it's no fault of this kid's own. Really, it isn't, because I don't know a lot about Husker football. But O'Hanlon got a bad rap with me because I watched the
Virginia
what I can't stand, I don't care if guys get beat. What I can't stand is when an announcer – so this is no fault of O'Hanlon's own. But when an announcer gives love to guys, they fall in love with a player. And it happens in any sport, any level. They fall in love with a guy, and if the guy does wrong, they still find a way – to give him love. So O'Hanlon gets burnt on that deep play against Virginia Tech, right? It's his man. He gets burnt. He ends up hustling back and makes the play, like tackles the guy inside like the five or something, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of, O'Hanlon blew coverage, the announcers, what a hustle effort by O'Hanlon. Wow, this guy's got heart. Yeah, well, that's great, but he's also the one that just got beat. It's not like he came across the field where Asante got beat.
You can't blame O'Hanlon for that. Blame Sean McDonough.
So I've given O'Hanlon, I'm too hard on him, huh?
Well, you know, he did.
It's not his
fault. He won my love back. It's Brent Musburger. That guy had some huge plays.
No, and we watched in Jacksonville this year when the Chiefs played the Jaguars. We watched the Nebraska-Oklahoma game. He had a great game, and I kept saying, I don't know, Brad. I don't think he's any good. And you're like, you're just saying that because Brent Musburger, whoever the heck said it, tainted your view. And that's true because that's really all I know about him. And apparently he's a great kid. The team seems to like him. But you know what? One false word by – Brent Musburger, who obviously hates Texas A&M too, so that's another reason I don't like him. So that's it. Anyway, there was another guy we caught up at the Senior Bowl you guys haven't heard from, and this is a real interesting guy because we wanted to go in there and look at guys like O'Brien Schofield, a guy who would be maybe a Tom Bahali type in case the Chiefs do not re-sign Mike Vrabel, an unrestricted free agent. Mike Vrabel, another guy we're not sure if he'll come back to the Chiefs or not. So we thought, hey, are there any more Tom Bahali types? The Chiefs had some good success having Hali make that transition, a former defensive end in college, former professional defensive end, goes and becomes a 3-4 pass rusher. So if Vrabel isn't here, is there a guy, a mid-round guy, who could be the next guy opposite Tom Bahali? So I went there trying to look for that, and Schofield was the guy. He was the guy I was going to interview, talk to, highlight, just because he had been an impressive in the Shrine game, and he was safe. Then he blows his ACL. Scratch that. So I went back to the drawing board, and I tried to find a guy that fit that bill. Well, happens this guy was wearing number 91 for the South squad, and he was playing defensive end this week. But I did some research on him. I thought right when I saw him, I was like, this guy looks like this is one defensive end in this game that looks like he could go back and play in the 3-4 defense. Playing outside backer. So his name's Brandon Lang.
Brandon Lang?
We'll talk about that in a minute. Brandon Lang's his name, and he's from Troy. Former teammate of Deion Gales for all you Chiefs fans out there who know the guys at the bottom of the roster. So he's a tall, he's a lean guy. He lines up at defensive end, but he has that Holly-like look. And he wears number 91. He's athletic, and he's a candidate now. I did the research and the scouting services say this is a possible 3-4 convert to outside linebacker. So, hey, let's take a look at the interview we had with Brandon Lang. This was yesterday after the final South practice. Here's Brandon Lang of Troy. Maybe he's a possible DN to outside linebacker. Chiefs fans, Troy's Brandon Lang joins us here on KCChiefs.com. Brandon, first off, how's Senior Bowl week been for you, my man?
Oh, it's been a great experience. Just getting the chance to come out here and play against these guys, surrounded by a whole bunch of great guys. It's just a fun thing, and it's a great experience, something I'll never forget.
Now, you're playing defensive end this week, but you're wearing number 91, which Chiefs fans know. That's Tom Bahali, college defensive end, plays outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense. What do you think about possibly playing an outside linebacker position? Some guys have you projected as that at the next level.
I feel like I can make that transition. I mean, it's just simple. You're just standing up, basically, and just rushing off the edge. So I feel like I can make that transition pretty well.
So you feel comfortable that you could take what you've learned at the college level on defensive line, the physicality of it, and then play in space at the next level?
Yes, sir. That makes the position more easier because, you know, it's more physical playing defensive end, and you be able to make that transition to the outside linebacker. You just pick up more knowledge.
What's the one thing you hope to accomplish when scouts leave here in Mobile and talk about Brandon Lang in their meetings?
Just to know that I'm a passionate player, that I love the game of football. It's been something I want to do since I was a little boy, you know, a dream of playing in the NFL.
Now, Brandon, you know we've got a Troy guy on our squad. Deion Gales got promoted to the active roster at the end of the season. You know Deion at all?
Oh, yeah. Me and Deion are close friends. You know, I know he up there doing his thing, and I wish him the best of luck.
Well, maybe you and Deion can get reunited in Kansas City, man. Wishing you the best.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Brandon.
All right.
All right, so there's Brandon Lane from Troy right there, Chiefs fans. Is he the next outside linebacker to play opposite Tamba Hali? We'll see. There was some confusion, I'll say, when I called Brad back here at the office and said, hey, let's get some stuff together on Brandon Lang. I'm going to do an interview with him. And Brad goes, Brandon Lang?
You know, I don't even know what you call
it. He's a sports handicapper.
He's a sports handicapper. Matthew McConaughey portrayed him in the movie Two for the Money. I was like, why are you going to talk to a sports handicapper at the Senior Bowl? Is he down there trying to scout these guys and get his
NFL may not like that one. And number two, what would a sports handicapper be doing at the Senior Bowl?
That's why he's the best, man.
That would not be looked at favorably.
That's why he's the best.
But it was not Brandon Lang, the professional sports handicapper, which I think he actually has a spot on 610 Radio here with Chris and Cowboy in the afternoons.
I'm sure he does. Killer drop in.
But yeah, so yeah, hey, thanks, buddy. Thanks for dropping in there. But no, it was Troy's Brandon Lang, not Brandon Lang from whatever.
How tall was that guy, by the way? He made you look.
Oh, my gosh.
Were you on your knees?
That's why I looked at him. I was like, this guy could definitely be an outside backer. Yeah, was I on my knees? I'm just glad Terrence Cody was sitting down when I interviewed him earlier this week.
Yeah,
anyway,
monster.
We got Larry patiently holding on the line. He's from Springfield and wants to talk draft in the first draft pick. Larry, how you doing?
Great. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
I'd just like to know where the Chiefs are going to go with the first round draft pick this year, you think?
You know what? There's a number of different ways and different opinions. I'm looking at Cover Live here, and people are onto a guy that I'm going to release my first mock draft for the website after the combine and once things settle down. Was saying I kind of liked McClain, the linebacker from Bama. And a lot of people here, I don't think that people are giving the Chiefs any thought of finding an inside backer. Remember last year it was Aaron Curry or Tyson Jackson, and the Chiefs go with Jackson because they say you build the front of the defense before you build the guys in the second level. So why this year would automatically an inside linebacker be off the board? So I was thinking, well, if there's a good inside backer and maybe Barry's gone or the Chiefs don't want to take an offensive lineman that high, McClain might be a guy. Now, I will tell you this. I was in
McClain's a beast.
He's a beast. But I'll tell you this: we're in the state of Alabama, you know, from Mobile, and I was in an oyster bar, and the waiter, he's like, "Who are the Chiefs could say they? Who are the Chiefs going to take in the first round pick?" I go, "I like your guy from up the road with the Tide." He's like, "Who? Cody?" I was like, "Well, I like Cody, but not as a number five pick. I like McClain, the linebacker." And they're like, "Oh no, he's going to fall back to the mid to the end of the first round." So those are the Bama fans talking. So I don't know. Maybe I'm totally off thinking that he'll be a top 10 pick.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Hey, no problem. That's Larry in Springfield, and sorry I couldn't answer your question completely, Larry. Where I think the Chiefs are going, there's no clear direction right now, and that plays an advantage enormously to Scott Pioli and the rest of the scouts. They could go a number of different ways. They could go safety. They could go defensive nose tackle. They could go offensive tackle. They could go with a linebacker. And so it's nothing but an advantage for the Chiefs. Who knows? Maybe the Chiefs will trade out. It's tough to trade out of top five spots. But, you know, we've got two picks back behind us, and we've got three of the top 50 picks right now. So you've got stacked of mid-round picks. So the Chiefs are going to have not only the advantage of teams not knowing which way they're going to go, but the versatility to be able to move around. They can move up for, say they traded down early, got to the middle of the first round, and then traded back up and got two guys in the top 25. The Chiefs have a ton of versatility both with the unknown and with their stockpile of draft picks. So where the Chiefs are going to go, I don't know. I was thinking that linebacker was one guy, though, was McClain, and linebacker was a spot which was largely ignored by a lot of people, especially on the mock drafts that are all saying offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. And Lee Corso's terms, not so fast, my friend. I'm not sure. Why don't we hear from Scott Pioli himself? We talked to him in Mobile, and he'll probably give you a better idea where the Chiefs are going to go. Actually, he probably won't yield that information. But he did talk about where Mobile in this week fits in the overall scouting system for the Chiefs, where it fits in the program, and why it's important for the Chiefs to be in Mobile. So here's Scott Pioli. We talked to him earlier this week at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Mobile, Alabama, a very busy Senior Bowl week. The Chiefs General Manager Scott Pioli has taken just a few minutes of his time to talk with us here on KCChiefs.com. So first off, Scott, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Josh. Not a problem. You got me early so we can get this done.
Well, first off, how does a week like this with all these players from across the country tie into the overall scouting plan for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, as we talked about before, Josh, this is just another piece of the puzzle here. There's a bunch of different events. It was East-West last week. Before that, there's another All-Star game. Next week, there's a Texas versus the Nation All-Star game. And this is just another piece of the whole puzzle. It's a fact-finding mission, so to speak. And, you know, we watch 4 years of tape or 3 years of tape on players. You get to see them as players with their university. Now you get them in a little bit different setting, in a little bit different situation. The pressure is kind of built up a little bit, and it's interesting to see how some of the players react in some of these pressure situations, like this game and the combine that's coming up in a couple weeks.
Well, I've seen a lot of these around here, this logo. Who all is here scouting these players from the Chiefs?
Well, we've got our entire coaching staff and the entire scouting staff are down here this week. All of our area scouts, all of our regional scouts, Phil Emery, the college director, Joel Collier, the assistant general manager, and the entire coaching staff. This is an important part of the process for us, as well as some other coaches that we're talking to for potential positions with our staff.
Well, I think football fans know that scouting doesn't just pick up in December or January when the season ends and go through the draft. So a lot of these guys have been on your radar, if not 1 year, 2 years, maybe even three. I'm not exactly sure. What is this week? What can you learn more about a guy this week and compared to what you already know about all these guys?
Well, again, I don't know if you can learn a little bit more, but you have to be, there's a very delicate balance here. What you've got to evaluate here is there's three or four years of college football on tape that give you one part of the picture. And you can't throw out 3 or 4 years of productivity on tape for 1 week of practices, you know, in this particular situation. The other thing you can't do is see a player out here perform well and ignore the performance that happens here. So again, this is just another piece under a little bit more stressful set of circumstances, and also seeing how players adjust to a new environment and a new situation. So this is just, again, another piece of the puzzle.
Well, we're about 1 month away from the combine and a few months away from the draft. So with that delicate balance you just spoke of, how can it affect a guy's draft stock, either up or down, this week in Mobile?
Well, unfortunately, I think the one way it can affect things in a negative way is when we saw the player go down and get injured. Unfortunately, that's going to affect him dramatically. But I think what happens here is seeing how they react to the new environment. There's players where you can find out potentially a little bit more about their intelligence, because during the season when you're visiting players at school, you generally don't get an opportunity to sit down and talk with them. You get a chance to interview them, you get to find out about, you get to ask a lot of questions during this time that gives a lot of insight into the player's intelligence, their loyalty to their former coaches, their lack of loyalty to their former coaches, their understanding of the program that they were in. If they say something negative about the program, it isn't necessarily a reflection on them or the coach. If you have an understanding of the program, it just gives you more insight into the individual.
Well, you guys have got a very busy schedule here over the next few months. I've got to ask you to close this thing off, though. Is it more fun coming to these events and the combine and watching it live, or is the fun for you in debating what happens here with the scouts that you put on staff to evaluate these guys for years?
I got to be the more I have. I enjoy it a lot more being able to watch practice. The difficult part about an event like this is there's a lot of people down here looking for jobs, looking for things that don't have to do with what we're trying to get done on the field. There's a lot of distractions down here. What I really enjoy doing is evaluating tape, evaluating players, and getting my own mind on what I feel about the players. There's a time for the debate, as you talk about in the meetings. We had meetings in December, right before we leave for the combine. We'll have another set of meetings, and we'll have more meetings in March. So what I really enjoy, though, is watching football and being around football players and football people.
Well, we got you early, but it looks like the North specialists are taking the field, so I'm going to let you get back to evaluating so we don't miss anybody here.
Great, Josh. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, Scott.
All right, so there you go. There's Scott Pioli right there talking about how the Chiefs overall, how the Senior Bowl fits into the Chiefs overall scouting plans. We've got Corey here, excuse me, from Virginia. He's on the line waiting patiently through that interview. Corey, what is going on, my man?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up?
Well, basically my question was, any chance you think that Golden Tate could fall to the second round? And if so, would we pick him with that first second round pick?
I'm glad you brought that up, Corey, because I asked Charlie Weiss at the Senior Bowl week if, you know, are you still watching these Notre Dame guys, even though you know everything there is to know about them? And he said, no, because I'm watching offensive skill guys. And Golden Tate, I don't believe if he was there, he could have fooled me at the Senior Bowl. I didn't see him. But you know, he's a guy that is kind of under the radar, under the surface. He's probably a top 50 player, but people don't talk with him in the same line as a Dez Bryant. And he's a guy, you're right, I think could be there in the second round. And if he's there in the second round and Charlie Rice is running the Chiefs offense and he is in that draft room, mm-hmm. and he says, hey, Golden Tate's our guy, then yeah, I mean, there's familiarity there. And I think that's a great point, man. And he's a riser right now. He's been rising up the draft boards, and it's relatively viewed as – this is viewed as a strong draft, but a weak set of receivers, a weak crop of receivers. So if Golden Tate isn't that far down below the notch of a Dez Bryant type, and he can give you those red zone looks, and he can be a good solid number two or three, yeah. And the Chiefs have the advantage of having a guy like Charlie Weiss there that has been with this guy every single day of the past 4 years. And, you know, if he's a good fit for the Chiefs and he's there, then, yeah, I think the Chiefs do take him because they've got the best scout of all, and that's Charlie Weiss when it comes to the Notre Dame talent.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, just watching him play this year, I mean, he makes big plays, and he's a returner too, so, I mean.
Exactly, and there's the other thing to look at. I'm glad he brought that up too, Corey. Returner, that's the place where the Chiefs have had musical chairs. They're probably not going to want Jamaal Charles to be the kick returner next year. He's going to be the feature back, and there's not many feature backs in this league that are continually returning kicks, not every single day. And then so past Charles in the punt game and then the rest of the kick return, it was like a musical chairs of kick return. You've got Quentin Lawrence returning back for next season, but, you know, he was still part of that group that was in, out. He was up on the practice squad, and then he's on the 53-man roster. And where do these guys fit? So that's another need for the Chiefs, to find a guy, if you do draft a player like a Golden Tate, that can fit in that role as well. And you know, there's a number of other guys that were there at the Senior Bowl this week that were returning kicks. Jacoby Ford from Clemson, he's a mid-to-late-round type of guy that looked pretty good returning kicks. Marty Gilliard, most people have heard about him from Cincinnati. Right. He can return kicks. So, yeah, I agree. When the Chiefs do go receiver, if they do, and if it's Golden Tate or isn't Golden Tate, I think they'll also look for a guy that can handle punt return duties.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Corey, and appreciate you calling all the way from Virginia, my man. A lot of good callers today, and, hey, you know, we've talked about Golden Tate. We've talked about Toby Gearhart. We've talked about Okung. We've talked about Eric Berry.
What are you doing, Rome?
We've talked about, yeah, Jim Rome. We've talked about wide receivers.
And by the way, Golden
Tate. The point is, it's like Letterman. The point is, no one knows. There's plenty of needs on this team, and no one knows exactly where the Chiefs would go at any point in this draft, and there's tons to talk about, and it makes our job easier. It makes my job a lot easier if the Chiefs had number one pick right now, and they said Jimmy Clausen's our guy at number one. Then what would we talk about? Well, we'd just be rolling Jimmy Clausen highlights for the next 2 months. So this is good. We can debate this stuff.
Golden Tate was not at the Senior Bowl because he's a junior.
There you go, coming out early. Why are guys coming out early, Brad? You know why?
Get the money.
Get your money
because make we got money.
Because we got a CBA. We got a CBA coming up, man. So, yeah, this is going to be one of the best underclassmen drafts in a long time as far as quality. So you got a lot of guys declaring early. 53 guys got special exemptions this year by the NFL to go ahead and declare for the draft. So,
is that because they want to get in before there's a rookie salary cap?
It's the unknown. You know, yeah. The CBA deal is going to be reworked, you know, whether it be 2011, 2012, whatever happens, there's going to be some sort of new reworked deal, and you don't know what's going to happen to rookie pay, if it's going to be slotted, if there's going to be limits, who knows? That's all the stuff for the lawyers and the players union and the league to figure out. So these guys are saying, well, we know what it is right now, and it's pretty darn good for rookies, especially if you're an underclassman who can come in and get first-round money. So that's you know, and you got guys. I mean, there's always the guys like Sam Bradford. I mean, why aren't you guys talking about him? Adam and I had this conversation in Mobile. You say, man, they were talking about on the radio about how Bradford might still be a top 15 pick. And Adam goes, man, I just don't see how you could take Bradford in the top 15. And I said, what are you talking about? What if I told you last year at this time that he was going to be a top 15 pick, and would you take Sam Bradford? And Adam goes, yeah. Well, I'd say, yeah, you got to take Sam Bradford in the top 15. The difference is there's only one difference, and that's that he hurt his shoulder his senior year. And you know, and that's the point. So some of these guys might see that, and with – with the uncertainty that lies ahead. There you go. That's why you have more juniors out in the draft this year. I do want to play one more interview before we bounce out of here, because the guy that I really liked, and he was one of the first interviews that we put out here, and he was debated on the blogs, and stay away from LeGarrette Blount. The guy's a punk, yada, yada. This is what a lot of the Chiefs fans say, and that's fair. And I shot back and said, you know what? He seemed humbled by the situation. Obviously, Blount's the running back who punched the Boise State guy in the face after that game and got suspended for indefinitely and worked his way back up with his teammates, worked his way back with his coaches, did the right things, and got reinstated by the end of the year by Oregon. Now, he's a talented back. That hurt his draft stock a lot. We talked to him at the Senior Bowl, and he seemed humbled by the situation, and he said, you know, it was basically that it was a bad thing. He expected more out of himself. And there's worse things to do, in my opinion. I mean, you see brawls in hockey. You see brawls in – you see it in baseball. You see it in the NBA. And what happens? Oh, this guy charged the mound in baseball. It's a four-game suspension. A guy in hockey gets 15 minutes in the penalty box. Oh, sorry. I'm corrected by a hockey fan. 5 minutes in the penalty box for slugging a guy. NBA, a guy's fined $20,000 and suspended 5 games. Heck, the NBA, a guy's going out in the stands and hitting fans. So when you look at that and then you say college football, here's a guy who punched a player, not on the field during the game, but after the game. Okay, there's drawn back and forth. So, yeah, he deserved to get suspended. Yes, he deserved to get punished. But now he's going to have to fight all the things of this guy's a punk, this guy, you don't want him, he's a cancer. And I don't know him personally, and I don't know if that's fair, because the Oregon Ducks and his teammates seem to really want this guy to come back on the team once he worked things out. I mean, the guy was suspended for, what, 10, 11 weeks? He could have just gone off the deep end, left school, and like, man, this is bull. I don't want to deal with this. No, he stayed in school. He kept his grades up. He practiced every single day, did the right things. The coaches and the teammates voted him back on the team by the end of the year. And so we talked to Blount because he was the guy who fits the bill for what a lot of Chiefs fans want in a backup to Jamaal Charles. He's going to be a mid to late round pick. You might be able to get Blount in the fifth, the sixth round, maybe the fourth round, maybe the seventh round. But he's a guy who's a load, and he's a guy who looked really good at the Senior Bowl. So we talked to him. But then the other guy that I wanted to give this interview is Anthony Dixon. He set the Mississippi State's all-time single-season rushing record this year, and he's a guy that's built a lot like Blount. And he doesn't carry the off-the-field baggage. So we wanted to put a little bit of both sides in this for Chiefs fans. And he was my favorite interview the whole time. He was hilarious. He was fun. He's got a sweet haircut. Look for him in the Senior Bowl this week. And the Miami Dolphins stuff, they're going to do a lot of interesting stuff. So he'll play some tailback. But they also had him in there with Tate from Auburn. Tate the tailback and Dixon is the fullback. And man, they look pretty powerful in practice. But here's Anthony Dixon from Mississippi State, another big back. That could be a mid-round type pick for the Chiefs. They haven't projected higher than Blount, but probably still not a first-round guy. Anthony Dixon. Mississippi State running back Anthony Dixon joins us here on KZChiefs.com and Mobile. First and foremost, Anthony, why the Senior Bowl? Why are you playing in this game?
Get a little recognition, you know. I want to show the coaches, you know, definitely that I'm worthy of being, you know, one of the top picks in the draft. You know, I want to show them, you know, that I'm versatile. You know, I got a couple dimensions to my game, and you know, I just love football. You know, I couldn't turn it down. You know, when they gave it to me, I couldn't turn it down. You know, because I saw the type of players that were going to be up here, and I was looking forward to coming playing against all of them. You know, because they are all stars, and you know, I don't think it would do nothing but help my game out.
The South team practiced across the bay today. We were watching the North. Just tell us how that went. We didn't get to see the South today.
I think it was okay. You know, we had a little energy going out there. I was out there trying to do my part and provide energy. You know, just for the first day. You know, I think we had a good day. You know, I don't think it was a lot of fumbles on the ground. You know, we looked like we've been doing it 2 weeks. You know, so I think it was a good start.
Well, the other big back in this game, LeGarrette Blount on the North team from Oregon, specifically mentioned you as the other big back. And for Chiefs fans, they're excited about the possibility of adding a big back to the backfield, Jamaal Charles, who's not a big back. Just talk about your game a little bit and you as a power runner.
Yeah, my game is power, you know. I think I got the speed to come with it, too, you know. But my game is definitely the power, you know. I can definitely block, you know. I think I can be on the field all three downs, you know. And I just want, you know, come out here and prove that, you know. I definitely play for the Chiefs, you know. I don't think they got to do it, call my name, you know. I come running, you know. So, you know, I just want to come show them that I can be every down back, you know. And I'm going to be there almost every day for them, you know. I'm doable, you know. I ain't missed but one game, you know, my whole career. And, you know, I'm a definitely a team player, you know, because they had me playing that fullback out there. And that's out of my character a little bit, you know. But, you know, for the team, I'm getting the job done. You know, I'm definitely trying to show them, you know, if they put me out there, I can get the job done.
And don't worry about Terrence Cody. We just talked with him about a minute ago, so he's going to come try and mess you up in this. Well, you had a great career at Mississippi State, but this past year, you set the school single-season rushing record, had your best year, obviously, as a running back. How did it happen?
The off season, you know, I picked it up some. You know, I really made up my mind that I wanted to, you know, lose some weight and become a better player. You know, Coach Bailey's and the staff came there and they really pushed me. You know, and you know that we took off from there. I was trying to lead my team to victory. You know, and get us in a bowl. You know, and just out of all that, I guess came that season I had. You know, because I was fighting to the end. You know, I kept pacing up and down the sidelines every game, telling my teammates to fight. And, you know, out of that just came the season I had.
Well, Anthony, I know Chiefs fans will be watching you intently on the TV this weekend, and good luck to you, my man.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, take care.
All right.
Well, there's Anthony Dixon, which great hair, great guy, fun person, good interview. Put him on your watch list. Looks like he could transfer to an NFL fullback, running back hybrid type. But he says he has the speed to come with the power, Brad. You know what else he doesn't have, though? What he doesn't have. This is the one thing he doesn't have. I hear he doesn't have an agent. Do you think he could find one of those at the Senior Bowl? Do you think he could?
Is that the cue?
That's the cue. I've got no idea if he's got an agent or not, but if he didn't have one, he can strike a deal right there at the Senior Bowl. It was a great week in Mobile, and I'm glad American Airlines got their act together and was able to deliver me for this live show about 30 seconds before Brad was about to fill it with, hey, this is Brad. I skied and messed my face up.
And I talk really low,
yeah,
apparently.
Hey, so that's it. There'll be plenty more to talk about. After the Senior Bowl on Tuesday, we'll be back next week at our normal time, 12-1 live here on KCChiefs.com. Appreciate everybody for turning out. A lot of great calls today, a lot of good comments in the Cover Live message board. So I've been up since about 3:45 today, and I'm gonna go to sleep. So see you guys next Tuesday.
Kansas City! Chief!